verses 12 through 15. Romans 8, 12 through 15. Let us hear God's word. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would feed us with the manna from heaven, that you would feed us with the Word of God, that you would uplift Christ before us. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Silently, carefully, without any announcement or proclamation or fanfare, the termite enters into your home. No one has ever heard of a termite announcing his presence in your house. For if he did, your actions would be swift and they would be complete to eradicate your house from termites. Yet, if the termite is not dealt with, it will not be long before you notice a weakening of the floor. The walls kind of seem to sink. It starts slowly, with no big fanfare, but before you know it, your house is infested. Well, this is also the way of sin. Sin never presents itself for what it really is. If it did, you would quickly run away from that sin. Instead, by quiet waiting and watching and deliberating, sin builds its nest in the soul. Until you know it, sin has conceived and brought forth more sin. And it is this remaining sin, this indwelling sin, that Paul says we must not be content to let it remain in our lives. This is what he says, that we need to put to death the misdeeds of the body. Notice that he says, you must put to death the misdeeds of the body. He's not speaking to non-Christians. He's speaking to Christians. He is speaking to you. When he says that you must put to death the misdeeds of the body, he is calling upon you to participate in the life of Christ. As the Holy Spirit now indwells within you, as the Holy Spirit leads and guides you to know Christ's way. If you neglect the means of sanctification, if you hold out on prayer, Bible study, church, then slowly but surely, sin will begin to manifest itself in your life. As dark clouds shields the rays of sun, unmortified sin shields the rays of the love of God. You don't lose your salvation, but as David says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. If you let sin guide you and direct you, you will be participating in sin itself. It will conceive in your life like termites in a house. The rays of the love of God will be clouded over. And though you may not lose your salvation, oh brother, let me tell you, you will feel like you have lost your salvation. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says in Psalm 38. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have pierced me. Your hand has come down upon me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin. See, it sounds like a house infested with termites, doesn't it? My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. Those are not the words of a non-Christian. Those are the words of King David being led by the Holy Spirit. King David is experiencing the displeasure of the Holy Spirit because David is allowing sin to live and practice in his life. Even though he's a Christian, an Old Testament Christian, and even though he doesn't lose his salvation, he is going to feel like he has. What then does it mean to mortify the sin that wages war against the Spirit of Christ? Well, first off, let me tell you what it's not, okay? Sin, or to mortify sin, is not simply a moral change, okay? It is quite true that this is what we should do and what we are called to. But as long as we are in these unglorified bodies, as long as we are in flesh and blood, you will always have to deal with sin in your life. The Apostle Paul, and you don't want to challenge the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in Romans 7, he just says, he kind of wipes the sweat off his brow, combs his hair back, and he says, I don't understand this, y'all. I don't understand it a bit. The things I want to do, obedience to Christ, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, sin, Paul says, that's what I end up doing. Now, those are the words of an apostle of Christ. Even the Apostle Paul struggled with these spiritual termites that were in his heart. An expectation of complete perfection in this life. You ain't going to reach that. And it's not even biblical to think that you will. It is anti-biblical because if you think that you can live a life without sin, then you have a very low understanding of what the grace of God is all about. Yeah, but preacher, sometimes I just, I say things, I do things. My husband, my wife, my children, they get on my nerves and I say things or do things. I just have this sin in my life. Well, you know what? You're then in the perfect situation to understand the grace of God to you. It was Noah. We read in our passage this morning that Noah became drunk. Before Noah went into the ark, the Holy Spirit, you know what the Holy Spirit calls him? A righteous man. Yet we see that as time goes by, this righteous man, a man after God's own heart, yet what we see is that this man succumbs to sinful temptation. And not only because he is drunk is he now lying naked for the whole world to see, but some commentators would even go so far as to say his son Shem violated him, sodomized him. And so what we see then is that even in righteous people, people who truly love Christ, if you don't mortify, if you don't kill it, this sin that is within you, if you just let it go its own way and grow in this area and grow in that area, it's going to lead to a very bad situation for you. Also, mortifying sin is not simply a diverting of sin. In other words, well, I can't do this, so I'll do that. You know, we've had a lot of trees fall here recently with the hurricane. Well, some of these trees fall over streams, and though they do not stop up the spring, they divert the water in a different direction. Well, a man may be aware of certain sins in his life, and he recognizes that those sins bring him poverty, lack of respect in the community, maybe even make him sick. But in the meantime, he allows other sins to take place in his life. I'm not going to do this anymore. Why aren't you going to do that? Well, you know, it costs too much money. I don't want to lose my money. Or it makes me not be respected in the community. Or, you know, I've actually gotten sick by this type of sin. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick up this kind of sin. And I'm going to be faithful to that sin. And yes, you will be faithful to it until the Holy Spirit slaps you upside the head with His Word and brings conviction to your heart. We read in Acts, in the 8th chapter of Acts, about a man named Simon Magnus. He was a sorcerer. Well, he had an encounter with some of the apostles. Okay? And his encounter with the apostles so convicted him that he gave up being a sorcerer. Okay, we think that was a good thing. He gave up the sin of black magic. But when he saw that the gift of the Holy Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he quickly got his money purse and brought it to him and says, "Look, I'll give you this if you give me the power to do what you're doing." So you see, he gave up the sin of being a sorcerer, but he embraced the sin of covetousness. And he was comfortable with that until Peter the Apostle says, May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. For I see that you were full of bitterness and captive to sin. Simon, the sorcerer, he was no longer a sorcerer. But he had diverted his sin to covetousness. You ever see, you're driving down the road and, you know, there's a dead animal in the road and there's a buzzard, a couple of buzzards, you know, hanging around the carcass of the dead animal. And as you come by, they all fly away. But then after you're gone, they fly back. And some of them, though he was eating this carcass, now when he comes back, he's over here eating this carcass. Buzzards are scared off. But then they land on another carcass. And so what they've done is simply exchange one rotten animal for another rotten animal. And that's what we do with sin. We give up this particular sin because numerous reasons. It may cause us to be in a bad situation. Oh, but I can fly over here to this spiritually dead carcass and feed off of it, and nobody will know the difference. I'm going to exchange my drunkenness for worldliness. I'm going to exchange my non-belief for being like a Pharisee. I'm going to exchange my living in debauchery for pride. Have you exchanged a sin in your life for another sin? What then is mortifying sin? What does it mean? Well, it is a habitual, now listen to me, it is a habitual, not a one-time thing, but a habitual weakening of sin in your life. A habitual weakening of sin in your life. We read the story of Noah. Do you think that it was just one day, just out of the blue, without any thought whatsoever? Do you think that Noah just said, you know, I'm going to try a little bit of this wine. Never had before. Let me just try a little bit and see what happens. No. This sin had been building in Noah. It had been building in Noah. It had been building in Ham. And because it builds up a little bit at a time, therefore we have to kill it a little bit at a time. We're not born innocent. Hear me, we are not born innocent. We are born depraved. The sin that you practice right now had its foundations in the sin you practiced when you were a child. And now, that sin, even though you're a Christian, that sin is trying to build strength. It can't ultimately take you from Christ. No. But it sure can mess up your life. Because it wants to take a hold of you. It wants to take a hold of you and to take the joy of your salvation away from you. Every sin cries like a hungry child wanting to be fed. That's why when the Spirit regenerates a soul, the Scriptures speak now about the flesh waging war against the Spirit. And just as any war succeeds or fails upon knowing the strength and the weaknesses of your enemy, spiritual warfare, the success of that is going to be based upon the strength and the weaknesses of your enemy. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I once knew a man, still know him, but I hadn't talked to him in many years, probably 20, 30 years. He was an alcoholic, and he sat down with me one day and he just cried his heart out because of his alcoholism, how it not just affected him, but affected his wife, affected the children, and I believe he was a Christian. I believe he still is. He's a stronger Christian today. But he didn't know what to do. He said, "This situation is always presented to me and I fail every time." Okay, let's think about this. Tell me what you do when you get off work. Well, when I get off work, I walk down the street and go to this little eatery, this little restaurant, and I have a couple of drinks. Oh, I see. Let me tell you what you need to do. Go somewhere else. Do not walk down this same street. Do not go to that same restaurant and do not have those couple of drinks. Don't do it. If it takes you 5 minutes longer to go this way in order to get home, go this way. That was the first step in him mortifying the sin of alcoholism in his life. First step. Go somewhere else. Don't place yourself in the temptation expecting the Holy Spirit going to come riding through, you know, on a white steed and going to magically deliver you from this sin. No. The Scriptures say you must mortify this sin. First place to start, don't go there. I ain't a smart man, but he learned that what the preacher said that day was the right thing. And he has been sober for many, many years now. Or I go and I mingle with this crowd. And that crowd is drinking or doing this or doing that. What do I do, preacher? I ain't a smart man, but I can tell you what to do. Do not go with that crowd. Find someone, find a crowd that will encourage you in Christ, not the crowd that's going to encourage you to sin. That's the first step. And then the hard part. The hard part is because This is not just a sin, but this is spiritual warfare. You got to put on the full armor of God. And you got to hit that sin where it is mostly strengthened. And it is mostly strengthened by neglecting prayer, neglecting Bible study, neglecting church. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. If you don't put on the full armor of God, you're not going to be able to do it. But let me tell you the good part. In your failure to mortify that sin, in your failure to try to kill it, of course you can't kill it completely as long as we are in this flesh. But in your failure to kill it, the Holy Spirit is going to say to you, "See, I told you you couldn't do it. You got to lean on Christ. Oh, I'm going to let you try it on your own because I know you can't do it. I'm going to let you try it on your own. And like a whipped puppy comes back to the house, you're going to come right back to Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ loves for you to experience your weakness because He is your only strength. Like Joseph in the Old Testament. We got to flee Potiphar's wife, that place of temptation that would strengthen our sinfulness. Oh, Christian, have you been sleeping when you should have been watching and praying? Have you been allowing the termites, those spiritual termites, to get a good hold of your life and affect the relationships that you have with one another? Have those spiritual termites infested your soul? And now, you're feeling the floor wobble, the walls fall in, all because you chose to remain in sin instead of turning to Christ. If that's you, then wake up. Turn away from the occasions of sin. Take the opportunity. Take the opportunity away from those sinful situations. Crucify the sinful nature that wages war against the Spirit. And set your mind on things above and not things of this earth, but call upon Jesus Christ. He and He only can help and deliver you. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ.